Hey, Zach here, and before we dive into this week's episode, I wanted to let you know that you can actually grab the recordings of our most recent Facebook and Instagram ads for List Building Bootcamp for just $25. Now, in January of 2024, we hosted a 5-day live training where we walked our clients through step-by-step how to set up ads that grow their email list every single day so that they're always growing their business, always growing their audience, and always having new people to make offers to. Now, what's really great about this bootcamp is we have literally dozens of client results from it, and you can get the recordings of that most recent one from January of 2024 for just $25. All you have to do is head to theadsbootcamp.com. Again, that's theadsbootcamp.com. And you're going to learn step by step through how people were able to grow their list. We have incredible results like Zita, who added 67 leads to her list in just 5 days at $1.80 a piece, or Nora Jean, who added 62 leads for $1.12 in those 5 days. We have Brenda, who added over 500 people to her list over the course of a week, under 50 cents a piece. Heather Lalonde, who did over 200 leads at 50 cents a piece. Amy Hughes, who added over 300 leads in a week. I mean, the list goes on. And those are just our January testimonials. We have even more than that, plus testimonials from the last 7 times we've done this, and we would love to have you in next. So if you head over to theadsbootcamp.com, you can grab the recordings for just $25. It'll walk you step by step through growing your list, and in less than 5 days, you could have tons of new leads pouring into your list every day, semi-automated with Facebook advertising. So check it out, and let's get into this week's episode.
This is the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, episode number 66. And on this episode, I'm talking about being a workaholic, how I got over it, and how I'm working about 25 to 30 hours a week right now on my business, and really the steps I had to take to work less and live more. So if you are feeling overworked, burnt out, in a summer slump, or all of the above, this episode is for you, so stay tuned. Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler, and on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it. What is up, Heart Hustlers? Welcome to another episode of the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. And this one's going to be a little different because I'm usually very tactical, but I wanted to do another episode where I got a little less tactical and more into like the bones of how I'm really changing my lifestyle around my business. Now, I've done a few episodes like this in the past, and the reception of them has always been really great. So I decided, why not just do another one and really go ham on it, right? So I wanted to talk to you guys this week about how I've really shifted the way that I work. And about 18 months ago, when I was starting my business and I had been in it for just over, you know, a year at that time, or just under a year, right around there, I was working 80-hour weeks. I was giving up sleep. I was living on caffeine and Chipotle, though if I'm being totally honest, that happens sometimes still because I love my Starbucks and my Chipotle. But I was so entrenched in my business that I was kind of missing out on life around me. I wasn't dating. I wasn't doing anything. If I was awake, I was thinking about work. And if I was sleeping, I was dreaming about waking up to get back to work. I was just engulfed in work and kind of that more, more, more mentality. How do I make more money? How do I get more sales? How do I reach more people? How do I create more products? And I ended up on this hamster wheel that I've talked about this on the show before, but it led to ultimately, you know, not being in great emotional health, not having great sleep, struggling with my anxiety and depression again. You know, it ended up coming back, and it's, you know, something that I'll always have to deal with, but it came back stronger than it had been in years. And I really kind of had to step back and adjust the focus to the way I do things. And now I tend to work about 25 to 30 hours a week. I won't sit here on this recording and tell you that I'm a saint and that I always stick directly to that schedule, but I will tell you that I'm pretty stingy about it. I like to wake up without an alarm clock. I roll into my office. I have a second bedroom that I've converted into my office. I work around 10, 11. I get on, and by about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm pretty much done. I usually take a little break in there. So when all is said and done, I'm working 4 to 6 hours a day, Monday through Friday. And I've gotten really good at taking the weekends off, or, you know, sometimes, let's face it, we're entrepreneurs. Sometimes we have to do the hard stuff. Sometimes I work the weekend, but I can honestly say in the last several months, I've not worked more than a couple hours over the weekend. And that's usually when I'm launching or working on a really big project that I need to check in with. So I wanted to really dedicate this episode to what I had to do to make that shift. And I want to be really transparent about this. Whether you're making $5,000 a month, $500 a month, $50,000 a month, these steps that I'm going to give you are like really actionable in terms of you can do them with your business right now. You don't have to be operating. You know, when I made this shift, I was running a six-figure business already, and I've scaled it up through this wind down. But I want you to know that you can do this at any level. I've really broken it down into a few things that I did. And the first one was getting real clarity on the cash flow drivers in my business and the health of cash flow in my business. And the way I did this, I'm going to highly recommend a book, Profit First by Michael McCullough. And it's a really great book that walks you through getting clear on profitability in your business. Now, the book and the process within that book is actually designed to kind of help failing businesses stop failing. But that's not how I used it. I used it as really getting clear on how much money my business actually had for me as the owner, for my team to pay them in terms of profitability for bonus money that really lets me live like the more extravagant lifestyle. I wanted to know how much taxes my business was going to owe at the end of the year and had we allocated enough money for that. And by going through the Profit First book, you get really clear on all of these numbers. So I think the first thing is, if you want to work less, it might feel like, what does this have to do with working less? You have to have a real clarity around the health and the cash in your business. And the reason I say that is because I've tried in the past to kind of scale back my work. And ultimately, when you don't know the health of your business, and by health, I mean cash, you don't know how much cash you have, what you're spending, what your costs are, what your profits are, you are kind of always assuming that you have to be on go, 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 sell, sell, sell. And that's the state that I was in. I was in this state of, I have to be here, I have to show up, I have to sell. That's the only way to make this work, right? And I quickly realized that that's not really true, because my business was relatively healthy. Now, if you go through Profit First and you find out that your business isn't super healthy, that's okay. The book really shows you how to kind of turn things around, which is why I love it. So first things first was, we got super clear on how much cash is in the business. I know exactly right now, if not another dollar comes in to Heart, Soul, and Hustle, how many months the company can pay my monthly salary. I have a monthly salary that I've set that my business pays me. I know how long we can go without making another dollar that my salary is set. I also know how much cash the business has to spend on things like advertising, team members, you know, our operating expenses. I have money set aside for taxes, so I don't have to stress over paying my taxes at the end of the year. I think that a big part of, in my experience, of fear around stepping back from your business is a lot of us don't have a true picture of how our business is doing and the health of our business. And it's really important that we get back to that. Now, the second thing around this clarity on cash flow is, I always do quarterly review. And this is just something I wanted to throw in here, which is, at least once a quarter, I go through all my expenses and I just say, like, what do we need to be spending money on and what do we need to stop spending money on? And it's quite simply like looking at our recurring expenses. Sometimes we sign up for courses or even membership sites or software or et cetera, you know, things that we don't even realize how much we're spending or the recurring expenses that we've got into. And it's really important for us to evaluate that. So obviously, if I'm doing a quarterly review and I realize I bought a $2,000 course, I can't return it, but I can be aware that, hey, this quarter we spent $2,000 on courses. Maybe we need to go through those before we spend any more money on courses. So not only does that help me kind of reduce my recurring expenses in the form of software and tools that I might be paying for that I'm not using, but it also gives me this opportunity to look at, what are we really spending money on in the business? And it's always a real eye opener. And then finally, in this same space, we do a little bit of forecasting. So quite honestly, the next month to 2 months in my business, I have a manager who's on maternity leave. Danielle, if you're listening, shout out. Congratulations on your beautiful baby girl. I have a team member who's on maternity leave, and we have a few other team members. And so I wouldn't say that we're like, we are technically short a team member. We had transitionary policies and procedures, so to speak, that my manager trained our current assistant on. So everything is still running smoothly. But for the next 2 months, I gave myself the space to kind of do nothing because I forecasted my next launches later in the year. So whether I, you know, kind of sit here and work hard the next 2 months or I don't really have to stress. These next 2 months are kind of free, if you will. And that's what's allowed me to do some cool stuff. Like, we're in the process of beta launching a new program because I had the time and the ability to do it. And I'm also launching kind of a passion project. And so I'm going to take a quick second to give it a shout out here, which is coming up later this week. I'm hosting a 3-hour live training on Messenger bots. We're charging $97 for it to keep it nice and cheap. And we're taking 40% of the profits and donating them to the Trevor Foundation, which is a foundation that's really close to my heart. You can get the full details on that at heartsoulhustle.com/bots. So that's my little plug there. But basically, because I've forecasted when my next big launches are, I've stepped back and said, you know, what needs to be done for these launches, you know, pre-launch content, etc. We've mapped all that out so we know what has to happen over the next 8 weeks. But beyond that, the next 8 weeks are mine to have fun. So I'm dabbling with trying out new programs, giving money to a charity that I'm interested in. I'm experimenting a little bit with my Facebook group. So I've, by forecasting when my next influx of cash is going to be, I'm able to kind of sit comfortably and know, like, hey, even if the next 2 months suck, it's not a big deal because the next 2 months aren't designed to make us money. Now, we've also forecasted our cash flow, and we know that because of recurring payments and clients and some pop-up events that we've got planned, that we're still going to make a very healthy revenue that pays the team and all that good stuff over the next couple of months. So forecasting is about getting clear on what money are you expecting to come in, what promotions are you planning, and what money is already scheduled to be collected. So before you even try to like, well, I need to work less, I think it's important to get a really clear picture of the health of your business. And again, the big reason that I say take this step, sit down this weekend, like if you're listening to this, it comes out on a Tuesday, maybe you're a weekend listener, but whatever time you're listening, what I want you to hear is that take an hour. That's all it really takes. And figure out how much money, if you do nothing, are you going to collect over the next 3 months? What expenses are you spending right now? And if you check out that book, Profit First, there's a really great chart in there. If you take all of the accessible money in your business and divvy it up to your taxes, your operating expenses, your profits, and your owner's pay, how much money is really in the business? Once you know the health of your business, then you can work less. And you can work less without the stress of, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Are we making money? Is this, should I not be taking today off, right? Because I will be completely candid with you. I still struggle with moments of like, wow, I should be working. I should be doing this. Why am I taking off at 5 p.m. when I'm not exhausted? I could push through till 8 p.m. and be a little further ahead. But what I can tell you is that I'm definitely living life more. And it's something that at this point, I wouldn't trade for the world. Now, the second piece, and I've talked about this one on the show before, but it can't be said enough, is to focus on less. And if I'm being completely candid, you guys know I like to be honest and transparent, this is always the struggle for me because there's always so many new projects and new ideas and new potential courses and ideas and markets, and I always want to be doing something. But I had to stop focusing on as many projects to make things happen. And what I mean by that is we really condense down one of our best-selling programs right now. We launch it twice a year. That's it. And we spend about 3 months really kind of honing in on that launch, 2 to 3 months. This one we'll spend about 2 months because we have so much content made already, but enough about that. If you focus on less projects, you can give more time, energy, and assets to them. And this was something that I put up a lot of resistance to, but I learned within my mastermind that doing less doesn't make you less money. In fact, it makes you more money. So I want you to just kind of imagine this for a second. Imagine that you have two options to make $50,000. You can do 5 webinars, with the goal being $10,000 each. And you have to do them every 2 weeks for the next 10 weeks, so about 2.5 months. Or in 3 months from now, I want you to host a webinar where you sell $50,000 at once. Which one's easier? Well, at first glance, it might seem like it's easier to make $10,000 on a webinar, and it absolutely is. But when we look at the hard costs, the kind of man hours that go into this, every webinar that you do for those 5 weeks, you have to set it up. You have to set up a signup page. Even if you're duplicating it, you have to set up the signup page, the welcome email, the follow-up emails, the sequence emails. Not to mention, you have to run new ads and create new ad sets and manage all these ads. And you have to do that every 2 weeks. Versus if you do a webinar in 2.5-3 months, you've got 2.5-3 months to create great content, to run ads, to meet with your team a few times if you've got a team, to find someone to support you, to have a VA. Even if your team is just one VA, that's how my launches started when I had my first team member. Meet with them once a week and walk through and strategize and plan and pay attention to the marketplace, right? At face value, it seems like it should be so much easier to make $10,000 than 50. But the reality is it takes more work to make $50,000 over 5 times. Okay? So get really, really clear that taking on more projects does not mean taking on more revenue or taking on more sales. In fact, I can tell you from firsthand experience that ultimately, when you do these little pop-up promotions, generally speaking, you won't actually hit that $50,000 you would have hit with the one big webinar. In reality, you end up putting so many time and resources in that you cap out. For me, I capped out where I was struggling to get any promotion past the $20,000 mark. Now my biggest launch to date has been almost $200,000. So there's just this massive shift that happens when you allow things to naturally happen over time. So once you've kind of figured out the health of your business, I recommended that book, Profit First, that I love. You've gotten super clear on the health of your business. You've forecasted what you want your next projects to be. You've kind of realized that doing less projects but more strategically makes you more money. You just kind of go from there. And so to me, this is like the first step. This is moving from being a cog and a clog to being like an effective member of your business, maybe even the CEO. Okay. So what I want you to see is that the next step is once you've done this, you can do all this on your own, maybe with one VA. As you go to elevate, as you're like, okay, now I want to work even less and I want to outsource more, you then want to start thinking about switching from what I consider task-based outsourcing to outcome-based outsourcing. And this is really big, and I think everybody's got different opinions on these, but what I have seen is that when I was first growing my business, I would say things like, you know, hey, so-and-so, I need you to go do XYZ and let me know when it's done, right? Go check my email, go respond to this customer, go check our inbox, go post on my Facebook page. It was very much go do this. And it was black and white. There was no room for kind of creative expression almost for my team. It was very much like, this is what we're doing. Here's how we're doing it. Go do it. Well, in the last 6 to 12 months, we've really shifted that where I say things like, here's what I need done. Go do it and let me know when it's finished as an outcome. So I'll give you a really great example. It doesn't necessarily have to do with launching, but this gives you some insights into how I run my business. We have a failed payment system. So hopefully this isn't too disenchanting to you, but guess what? When people sign up for your 3-pay, 6-pay, 12-pay options, sometimes their credit card expires, you know, they max out their card without realizing it, they change cards, they lose their card, all kinds of stuff happens where you can't collect payment anymore on the number that they gave you, so you have to update it. And that for me was like a very mentally bogging, clogging, don't want to deal with this type of scenario. And I was racking my brain about how the heck am I going to teach my team how to fix this? I don't even know how to fix it. And I kept kind of beating myself up because I was saying, I need to know from A to Z exactly what we're going to do to collect these payments. And I had a really great meeting with one of my mentors, talking about team management and having my team do stuff. And someone on his team, this was inside my mastermind, shared their process. It was like a 15-minute video on how to collect failed payments. And what I did was I got my manager and my assistant together. I gave them the video and I said, watch this video and come back to me on Friday and let me know how we're going to implement this in the business. That was it. Took me 20 minutes to have the conversation with my mentor, 20 minutes to have the conversation with my team, 15 minutes to make sure that that video reviewed, and maybe a half hour for our follow-up meeting. So in about 90 minutes to 2 hours of my time, my team set up the system. They set up an Asana management board for us. They got really clear on the steps. They wrote out the procedure. They let me know who was going to be in charge of what on the team. We documented that. And then we now have a failed payment system. So prior to this, what I was doing was saying like, hey, are things going well? Are payments failing? What's happening here? And I'm somebody who, hopefully this isn't too nerdy, but I love getting the little payment notifications on my phone. It just makes me feel so abundant and prosperous. So I love leaving my phone on with all the updates. And so I would see like failed payment, failed payment, failed payment. And it used to give me this knot in my stomach, like, oh no, how do we fix this? And now when I see a failed payment, it doesn't change anything. It just makes me go, oh, thank God my team is handling that. So prior to, I would have set up this whole process and figured out how do I want it and me, my. And now in order to work less, I have to give my team ownership of these projects. And the feedback from my team has been incredible. I had my manager actually reach out to me and say, like, we're so happy you're working less, which was crazy to me that anybody on my team would want me to be working less. But she was with me during that crazy workaholic phase, and she knows what I'm like when I'm burnt out and tired and exhausted and behind on deadlines and don't want to function and not making enough revenue and sales to be where we want to be and things feel uncertain. And that's not fair to anybody. So if you can get really clear on the fact that as you know the health of your business, you know what you want to do, and then you realize you can start trusting people to take on as much responsibility as you would personally shoulder in your business, then things really start to evolve. And that takes us to kind of the last step of the process, which I just very candidly call like finding life again. And what I mean by that is, you know, for me personally, I had went kind of nose to the grindstone for a year and a half, 2 years, maybe even longer than that. But in my current business, I'd been very nose to the grindstone. But over the last 5 years prior to going full time, I was in a master's program and I was in my undergrad and I was working a part-time job. And then I was working a couple part-time jobs. And then I was working a freelance gig and a part-time job and a master's program plus building my business. And I was always, always busy. And it just occurred to me about 4 to 6 months ago that I've been so busy, I haven't even been like enjoying life. And so I started doing the things that I had avoided for a really long time. And I have to give kudos to really good friends and people that I'm surrounded with. But I started doing stuff like dating, which was crazy for me. I hadn't dated in forever. I hadn't even gone on a date in years. And I started dating again. I started buying really nice furniture for my house. I started upgrading my home. I bought a new bedroom set and a new living room set and a new couch. And that might seem like, you know, you might be saying, well, like, I can't go out and buy all this stuff. It wasn't about buying it. It's that there's always been this part of me that wanted to upgrade my home and decorate my home. And yet here I sat with some of the furniture that's been in my dorm room when I moved into college, gosh, 6, 7 years ago now, right? It was that I hadn't stepped back to look at what are the things in my life that I wish had kind of changed. Because no matter where you're at in your life, whether you're 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, it doesn't matter. There's kind of this next level that you might not even realize you haven't approached because you've been so wrapped up in your business. And what's so nuts is that a lot of us start this business to enjoy life again, to spend time with our kids, to spend time with our families. And so, you know, as you're doing this, then you have to start realizing that there will be kind of this void. And I think people don't like to talk about it because it comes across as kind of gruff. But the reality is, like, when I'm not working, yeah, there's a part of me that wants to be working. No matter who I'm with or what I'm doing, there's a small part of me that's like, oh, what a great idea for a Facebook ad. I wish I could go do that right now. But what I had to remember was that now I've gotten back to enjoying my life. So I know, like, yeah, I do want to set up that Facebook ad later, but there's plenty of time. And Saturday is my day to spend with people who are important to me. So I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to hit up the furniture store. I'm going to go walk around the mall. I'm going to play with all the new iPads at the Apple store, which I love doing. It drives everybody I know nuts. But anytime I walk by an Apple store, you best believe I'm going in. You have to start getting clear on what lights you up outside of your business. I'll share this quote from my friend Rachel Luna, and I guess it's not a quote, it's a conversation we had, and she had heard it at an event. And when she told me this, it really created a massive shift for me. She was at an event, and the speaker at the event said something along the lines of, you know, a lot of us tie our identity into our business. And if your business went away tomorrow, who would you be? Like, who would you be? Would you love who you are? Would you feel like you have no identity? And when I got asked that question, I was like, I would be lost. I would be so lost. What would I do? I don't know. I guess I would eat Ben and Jerry's vegan ice cream and watch Netflix and probably cry most of the time. That's where I would be. But it's such a great question to think about. And I would encourage you to think about it. Like, how much have you tied up in your business? And are you spending 40, 60, 80 hours a week in your business because that is how you defined your worth or your value? Because that is just not the case. You are way more dimensional with so many more sides than just what you see online. So I just want you to understand that you have to get clear on the fact that life doesn't revolve around our business. It's so cool that we can send an email and make money. It's amazing that we can launch digital products and profit from the things that light us up. But we have to have passions and life that isn't tied to a dollar sign and things that just make us happy. For me, it's driving around, updating my house with new decor, spending time with my dogs, walking around the park, and none of those things require a $97 price tag to make me happy. So I hope that you got a ton of value out of this episode. Just to recap what we kind of went over, you know, a year and a half ago, 2 years, I was working 60, 80 hour weeks. And now I work 25, 30 on average when we're not launching. Not gonna lie to you, when launches happen, we get crazy busy. It's part of the game. For the most part, I work less and I live more. And I was able to do that by, number one, getting really clear on the financial health of my business. I recommend the book Profit First. I absolutely love it. We switched over to their accounting method and it's been fantastic. Number two, getting really clear on the fact that doing more doesn't mean making more. And by scaling down the number of mini projects, you can put more asset and value and drive into a big project that makes just as much money as five little projects, but it doesn't take more time and energy. So by being constantly busy, you're not making more money. You're just being busy. You can be less busy and just as profitable. Then I talked about the value of switching from task-based outsourcing to outcome-based outsourcing, where you really stop trusting that the only person who knows and understands a vision is you and realize that your team can do incredible things if you give them the opportunity, but you have to let them do it. And then finally, you have to get out there and find your life again, because there will be days where you think it would be so much easier to just get on Facebook and stay busy for the next 8 hours. But you have to get out. You have to go for a run. You have to walk the dogs. You have to be with people who matter. Because when you die, you're not going to say, oh, you know, I really wish I hadn't gone to the park with my spouse or my significant other because I could have hit my Q4 goals. No one's going to say that. So get back to life. Get back to what makes you happy. Now, if you got tons of value out of this episode, of course, we always appreciate ratings and reviews on iTunes. It helps us reach more and more people with these amazing shows. At least I think they're amazing. I hope you think they're amazing. If you want to head over to heartsoulhustle.com/66, I'll have the show notes from this episode waiting for you. Again, that's heartsoulhustle.com/66. Now, before I wrap this episode, I want to leave you with one last little mini advertisement, if you will, which is, if you haven't already, I would highly recommend that you head over to heartsoulhustle.com/bots. That's BOTS. Because on June 22nd, I'm going to be hosting a training where if you sign up before midnight on the 21st, it's going to be $97. It's the cheapest I sell a training right now. And 40% of the profits from this training on Messenger bots and Facebook Messenger automation is going to go to the Trevor Project, which was founded in 1998 by the creators of the Academy Award-winning short film, Trevor. And the Trevor Project is the leading national organization providing crisis intervention and suicide prevention services to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning young people ages 13 to 24. Now, this is an organization that's incredibly close to my heart because when I was in my teens, I had a moment where I didn't know who to talk to or where to turn before I came out, and the Trevor Project was there for me. And it wasn't anything crazy or insane, but just knowing that there was a place I could go of people who weren't involved in my life and didn't know me, and there was no pressure or fallout that would become of just sharing how I was feeling. Words can't express how important that was to me in my life. And so I'm hoping that with this Messenger bot training, not only can I provide you some basics on Facebook Messenger at a really affordable price, but we can also make a massive impact in the LGBTQ community and really help teens and youth that need this support. So if you want to become a part of this, you can head over to heartsoulhustle.com/bots. And if it's not the right time in your business to run Messenger bots or, you know, learn how to run them, that's totally okay. I would love it if you still headed over to thetrevorproject.org and donated whatever you can in honor of Pride Month, which is the month of June. So guys, we will wrap up this show here. Again, I would love to see you on that live class. I hope you guys have gotten tons of value out of this. Get out there, live more, work less, keep hustling, and we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.